All right, as I just said in my opening prayer, we are now beginning a new series of lessons entitled Victory in Jesus.
Praise the Lord.
And if you look at your table of contents, we'll just look at the lesson titles just so we start to get an idea of the very practical lessons that we're going to be looking into over the next few months. And we begin, of course, this morning with lesson one, Victory Over Fear. And we will spend a good amount of time in this area just because fear is so prevalent in all of our lives in different forms, to different depths. For some, I'm sure it almost totally engulfs you at times. It cripples many. I have faces going in my mind right now of people who are not here this morning, who should be here. And fear is one of the things that's keeping them out of God's house, amongst many other things. But victory over fear, not just identifying it, but gaining victory over it biblically. The next lesson will be victory over temptation. And we face all kinds of temptation every day in our lives, and it's important to know what God's Word says about that and how to gain a victory over it. Lesson three will be victory over stress.
That's good.
You know. Who isn't stressed?
Oh yeah, I know that, but
yes. And lesson four, victory over the culture. We have a culture today that is very anti-Christian, very anti-Christ, as far as the Christ of the Bible. Yes. Now, if that's it's their right, own sir. Jesus, if it's their own Christ, if it's their own way to heaven, as they may call it, then that's okay. But the biblical Jesus, they're very much against. But that's the sign of the times. Mm-hmm. So we shouldn't be surprised or despondent over that or discouraged. But that should just encourage us to be that more busy about our Father's business. Then after victory over the culture is victory over adversity. We all face adversity in life to different degrees. But how to gain the victory over adversity biblically. Victory over the world, and that's a very deceptive one. And many things that are of this world, we don't see them that way. And in this lesson, we'll identify some of those things that we may fall prey to that we think are perfectly okay, but they're things of the world, and they're things that rob us of the things that God wants us to have in our Christian life. Lesson seven will be victory over scoffers. I've worked with many of them, and you may as well.
Yeah.
They're out there. They've always been there, and they always will be. But how to have the victory over them and not fall prey to their deceptions and the way that they try to draw us into arguments that harm our testimony as Christians. Mm-hmm. Victory over family turmoil. Wow. That's a deep subject, too. Yes, I... as far as I know, I'm the only Christian in my family.
Mm-hmm.
Others, you know, believe in God and that kind of thing. But as far as true born-again believer, I believe I'm the only one. Mm-hmm. At least by testimony, I am. Lesson 9, victory over injustice.
That's a good one.
Yes. Oftentimes, we take matter into our own hands. We exact revenge ourselves, and I'm guilty of that. Where the Lord says, vengeance is mine, I will repay, thus saith the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
He does a much better job. And if we really grasp a hold of that and let Him take care of things like that, then we don't have the turmoil inside. We don't have the anger. We don't have the worry. And we don't have the stress that comes from dealing with those types of things and figuring out how we're going to get back at someone. That just robs us of joy. It just robs us of energy that could be used to do the Lord's work.
Mm-hmm.
Lesson number 10, victory over a temporal world. There's a lot of allurements in this world. And although lesson 6 and lesson 10 may seem like they're the same lesson, there are some differences, though of course there are some things in common, but we'll see that as we get into those lessons. Lesson 11, victory over the power of sin. I don't know how long we're going to be into that lesson because I haven't gone that far in my preparations. Obviously, as a sinner, I'd like to make this a real short and sweet lesson and not say a whole lot. But I suspect that it's probably not going to turn out to be like that because there's some things we just need to be made aware of. Lesson 12, victory over national decline. Yes, it is.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
When our latest president promised change,
yeah.
He wasn't kidding. And very little of it has been good.
Yeah.
But again, more signs of the times.
Yeah.
You know, as a nation, we're getting what we deserve.
Yep.
And so we have really no one to blame but ourselves.
Right.
Even as Christians.
That's right.
The fault lies at our feet for not doing the will of God in this world, and specifically in our country.
Mm-hmm.
And being too close to the world. Lesson 13, the final one, victory over a wounded spirit.
Wow.
We have a lot of folks in our church who have a wounded spirit.
Yep.
They've been hurt by others. They've been hurt by expectations that haven't been met in their lives, hurt by a lot of things. And some of them are still here, but you can tell they're wounded. They're walking around like a bird, you know, with a wing that's just laying there and not even able to help them to fly. You can tell by their countenance that they're just here, but they're not really, their heart's not here.
Right.
And others, they're just not here at all. And a wounded spirit, that's a very important issue that we need to deal with so that we know how to minister to those who are wounded, so we can help them rather than cause even more grief in their hearts. And so that is an overview of what we're going to be looking at. Pastor has not set any time frame for this, and I'm glad, because there's no way that we would do this in 13 weeks unless I just simply went over what's in the book and did nothing extra.
Amen.
But Pastor is not like that. He gives us as teachers a lot of liberty, and I'm very thankful for that.
Amen.
This way that allows me to be able to get with the Lord and have the Lord give me things to pass on to you. So let's go ahead and at least begin lesson one, victory over fear. And if you would, turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24. Actually, so we can get the full context of what's going on, we'll actually begin in chapter 23 and verse 55. And what I'm going to do is, as I read the scriptures, when we come up to an area that I want to give more details about, we'll stop right there. That's where our concordances will come into play.
Amen.
We're going to dissect this and talk about it and seek to put ourselves in this narrative as if we were there, so we can empathize and understand more what was driving the fear of the characters that we'll look at in this particular lesson. Chapter 23 in the book of Luke, beginning at verse 55, "And the women also which came with him," speaking of Jesus, "from Galilee, followed after and beheld the sepulchre and how his body was laid." Now notice that the women who were with Jesus, that came with him from Galilee, they followed after his body that was being taken to the burial. They beheld the sepulchre, they saw the place where he was buried, and they also saw how his body was laid in the sepulchre. Now that doesn't necessarily mean that they were inside, because the sepulchre wasn't like some huge tomb with, you know, with catacombs and all that. It was just simply a hole in a rock formation. It wasn't anything very elaborate. But the point is that the women who followed Jesus saw the sepulchre and they saw his body being laid in it. Now, the people who were there besides the women were the soldiers who carried the body. And then you also had Joseph of Arimathea, as we see in verse 50 and 51. And then another book of the scriptures, we see that Nicodemus, the one who came to Jesus by night, he was also with Joseph. So you had Joseph, you had Nicodemus, and you had soldiers, because first of all, Nicodemus and Joseph probably could not have carried Jesus by themselves from the cross into the tomb. First of all. Secondly, the Romans would not have let two Jews carry Jesus by themselves unescorted to the tomb. So I believe that there was a detachment of Roman soldiers who actually physically carried the body, because they had to account for that body being put in the tomb. They had to account for the stone being rolled over and guarding the entrance to the tomb. And they had to put the Roman seal. And then on top of that, they had to put a guard, a detachment of crack Roman soldiers to guard the tomb. So it made no sense for just Joseph and Nicodemus to be the ones bringing the body and have that potential for foul play, as we know it from other passages of Scripture that the accusation was brought that there was foul play involved. But we have the women who were with Jesus, some of his followers, beholding the sepulcher and seeing his body put in there and how his body was laid in the sepulcher. So they saw exactly how it was put in there. And once that was done, in verse 56, they returned and prepared spices and ointments and rested the Sabbath day according to the commandment. So all of this was done on a Saturday, Sabbath day. Chapter 24, now upon the first day of the week, on Sunday. That's why we celebrate the Lord on Sunday, the first day of the week. Very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. So now, again, we have the ladies who were following him from Galilee, the women, according to verse 55, and there were certain others with them. So there were the ladies, and there were other people with them, and we're not told who those people are. Now let's look at what happens here. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulcher. And they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. Now let's take a step back. The day before, they had seen the body of Jesus put into the sepulcher. They had seen how they laid him in there. I'm sure they also witnessed the stone being rolled in front of the entrance. I'm sure they witnessed the seal being put on the stone. I'm sure they witnessed the Roman guards being set there to watch over the tomb, the sepulcher. Mm-hmm. And when all of that was set, that is probably when they went home to prepare the ointments and the spices for his burial. But now, the next day, when they come to the sepulcher, remember, in their mind, it's sealed, there's a stone in front of it, but when they come to it, they find that the stone is rolled away.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
So, again, I want to try to bring us into this scene, into this event, so that we can understand more why there was fear, why there was all these other emotions going on in the disciples and in the ladies. What would be your first reaction if you had just come to the tomb that you saw sealed, and now you come to it and the stone is rolled away? What would be your first emotion, you think?
First of all, when I look at this, I'm thinking, where is everybody? You know, like, thinking, where's the guard and all this? Somebody did it, right? Somebody rolled away the stone and took the body. Probably my first.
Because at first they're not seeing the body yet.
Right.
They're still at a distance and they're seeing the stone rolled away. Yeah. But we're going to progress.
Right, so I'd be thinking, who did this?
Uh-huh.
And they just don't, where are the people and why is the stone rolled away?
Okay. Ken?
I'd be surprised.
Same here.
Mm-hmm. I mean, just see that something happened.
Right. Okay. Gary?
I would look around and see if there's anybody around. See me.
Okay.
Yeah.
So looking for witnesses that could help answer the question, how did this happen?
Yeah.
All right.
And I also asked around, were you around at a certain time of night? Was the stone still there?
Mm-hmm.
You know, just, I would do that kind of stuff.
Okay, all right. So investigating, you would be just kind of perplexed as a whole.
Mm-hmm.
You're asking questions, okay, where are the guards? Where's all this stuff that was left in place when we left the day before?
Mm-hmm.
All right, what about you, Jeff?
That would blow my mind.
That would blow my mind. I like that. I like that. Concise. Jeff?
Knowing for sure, you know, as they were coming, there was an earthquake. And then when that trembling and everything, and then you get there, everybody's gone, the stone's gone. It's like, did that just occur? What's going on?
Okay. Now, regarding that earthquake, that earthquake was at the sepulcher, right? We have to look to another book of scripture to find that. But now the question is, did the disciples know that earthquake occurred? Because they weren't there. They went home. It could have been just right there.
Yeah.
It could have been far spread, but we're not told specifically. Right. But if you had experienced the earthquake, obviously that would be something that would come into your mind. Brother?
It says very early in the morning, and so I suspect it might still have been a little dark, and when I go into a graveyard, I'm a little jittery.
Amen.
And so I might have been a little bit nervous about going way early in the morning, and when Weston talks about fear, I might have been spooked.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Uh-huh.
What's going on here?
Right. Spooked, so, startled.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right. So you notice a lot of different thought processes going on. And the reason I did this exercise was, while there were some commonalities to what you all were saying, you all had different frames of reference. Some were pretty simple in the way that they responded. Others were more analytical. And that's just because that's the way you guys are made up.
Mm-hmm.
You seem more analytical. You know, Jeff was just like, blew my mind, you know?
So yeah.
A lot of variances.
Absolutely.
There. I suspect the same thing happened with the ladies and the others that were with them. They didn't all respond exactly the same way. But Scripture does tell us and gives us some insight as to how they felt.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And it says here, and they entered in. Well, first, they found the stone rolled away from the sepulcher, number one. And they entered in. So they actually went in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. Now, that's significant because back in verse 55 of chapter 23, it says, and they saw how his body was laid. So there's no doubt that his body was in the tomb when the stone was rolled in front of it, when the guard was set, when the seal was set. So they don't have to second guess themselves, well, was he really put in there? No, they saw him with their own eyes. And there were multiple witnesses to that. So that's a fact. But now all of a sudden, he's not there. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout. I'm going to stop right there. This is where our concordances come in. Let's look up that word perplexed, because that gives us insight into how they were actually feeling at that time. Okay, so the word is perplexed. So when they saw that the stone was rolled away, when they entered in and found that the body of Jesus wasn't there, they were perplexed. So how were the ladies and the others that were with them taking all this in?
It is
24-4,
right?
Yes.
1280?
Yeah, 1280? Yes, that is the correct word. 1280, so you can go back in your Hebrew or Greek?
The Greek.
1280 is the number. You gotta go way back, Gary. You gotta get all the way back into the dictionary. Keep going, way, way back. You're not even close yet. There you go. Now you gotta go into the Greek. You're still way, way away. Keep going. Way, just grab chunks of that. Keep going. If you look at the top of the page, there you go. And you're looking for number 1280. And when you get there, if you can read that for us, I got the magnifier if you need it.
Diaporia. Diaporia. From and to be thoroughly non-plussed. Be in doubt, be much perplexed.
Okay. Now, aren't there a couple of numbers there?
1243.
Okay, so go to 1223 and let's see if that gives us any further input.
The channel of an act through in very wide applications. Causal or occasional. Offer always among that to avoid because of that briefly by cause.
Yeah. I didn't personally find a whole lot that was helpful there.
And then 639 is the other one.
Uh-huh.
Aporio. It says to have no way out or be at a loss mentally. Stand in doubt, be perplexed.
Uh-huh. And if you notice, and it says 639 there too, doesn't it? When you look at 1280, there's two different numbers in there as well. See 639 there? Okay, and that's where Jeff went to. Right. So then, if we take what's in 1280 and we take in what's in 639, then we could put that together to say that they were at a loss, they were in doubt, and that would also give the illusion that they were confused. They were dumbfounded. These would be words that we use today.
Yeah.
No, they were just standing there saying, what in the world is going on here?
Yeah.
Okay? And the reason I'm saying that is in those definitions, there's nothing said there about fear, is there? Mm-hmm. There's nothing said about being afraid. At that point, they were not afraid. They were just confused. What in the world just happened here? But now, watch this. Let's continue in our text. So it says, and it came to pass, as they were much perplexed, in other words, they were much at a loss, they were in doubt, they were confused, thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. So now let's get the mindset. First, they come to the sepulcher, the stone is rolled away. They step inside. Jesus isn't there. They are just dumbfounded. They are just confused. What in the world just happened? And so with that set of emotions going on, they see two men in shining garments.
They're all sitting there going, like, what happened? What
exactly.
Didn't you say you saw the body here?
And you know they're all talking amongst themselves. So they're getting all worked up in this confused state of mind. And so that's the mindset when all of a sudden two men stands by them in shining garments. And then what happened? And as they were afraid. Now let's stop there and let's look up that word. Because I want you to see the progression of what's happening emotionally. Because we're talking about fear here. And oftentimes fear isn't like we're startled. It's a series of events that lead to a series of emotions that bring us to the place of fear where we're just frozen and we just can't think, we just can't respond. Mm-hmm. So the first one that finds the Strong's number, just say it out loud so we can go to it. So we're looking for afraid in Luke 24:5. 1719. All right, so that's where we're going now. 1719 in the Greek dictionary.
From the front to the back.
From the front to the back.
Yeah, from the A.
Greek.
So instead of Bible drill, we're doing concordance drill.
That would be good.
I'm telling you what.
It's a good drill to have, Brother Sirs. It's a good drill to have.
That would leave a lot of people in the dust.
Yeah.
1719. In the Greek dictionary, word 1719, we'll find a Greek word for afraid. Are you perplexed, Gary?
Amen.
Oh, you found it though, right?
Yeah, 719.
No, not 719. You need 1719.
1719.
Okay.
Find the word afraid.
That's because Gary, that's because you're looking at the Greek word. Correct. That's why I have to go to the English word first, and then you go to the Greek dictionary. Okay. So anyway, what do you find there in 1719?
Okay,
yeah.
What I find here is in fear, alarmed, frightened, afraid, trembling.
Okay. All right, and are there any other numbers in there that we can go to?
1722.
All right, so.
5401.
Let's have Jeff go to those other numbers.
Okay. In 1722, it's, I would just say it's N is the word.
Okay. It's all Greek to you, right?
Yeah, it's all Greek.
Okay.
It's denoted fixed position, place, time, or state. It's applied in instrumental, dissonant, instructively, relation. It's about, after, or against.
So that doesn't seem to apply to what we're doing.
No.
So go look up the other word then.
Yeah, 5401.
5401. This is all part of study to show that self-approved.
Yeah.
It takes work.
Yeah, it is.
Sermon preparation is not simple, is it, brother?
No.
5401, right?
Yes.
Phobos. To be put in fear, alarm, or fright, to be afraid, exceedingly fear or terror.
Okay. So that word seems to duplicate some of the same definitions as we find in the original, but it goes deeper and it gets into terror.
Amen.
So when we look at perplexed, we saw to be at a loss, to be in doubt, to be basically confused, to just be in wonderment, what in the world is going on, to when they saw the angels, the men in shining garments, they were in fear, they were alarmed, and some of them might have even felt terror. And I don't know whether you've ever experienced that before. I remember years ago going out door knocking, and a guy decided to release his dog. When I knocked on the door, he opened the door, and we talked for a little bit, and he didn't like what I was there for, and released his dog. I felt terror.
Oh, yeah.
I felt terror. And praise God, back then I had much better control of my bowels than I do today.
Amen.
I was able to leave, you know, not only unscathed, but unsoiled.
Yeah, exactly.
But, I mean, I went from the normal apprehension that you feel, you know, when you knock on somebody's door because it's somebody you don't know what's going to happen when you knock on that door, to utter fear. This dog was big, and this dog reared its teeth, and his ears went back, and I thought, wow, I'm done. And the guy had a smile on his face.
Oof.
And of course, the dog never did jump at me, but he probably knew that he had the dog well trained, but I didn't know that.
Yeah.
So I went from just being a little doubtful, like I always am when I knock on a stranger's door, to like fearing for my life. And so that whole realm of emotions, the disciples here and the ladies went through all of that. On top of the fact that the sepulcher was, the stone was rolled away, the body of Jesus wasn't there. But the fact that these men in shining garments were there was a good thing. Mm-hmm. And we'll see that when we continue in our next lesson. But I did this exercise just to help you and to help me to get into the mind and into the emotions that these people were experiencing in this passage of Scripture, because that helps a lot. Yep. To be able to really understand what's going on in Scripture when you can almost like jump in and go back in time. It makes it more interesting, makes it more exciting, and it makes it to where it's not humdrum, where you just, you know, you read it,
yeah.
You know, you were falling asleep through most of it, you know, you were nodding your head, but you got through it.
Yep.
Well, you're not going to get a whole lot that way. But when you can...
It depends on the frame of reference for the luminary. I said I'm jittering about the graveyard. In Mexico, we preach sermons in the graveyard, but in Mexico, very soon we're going to have...